Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
John Lester has been through so much. He's dealt with the lymphoma diagnosis and been through that. And I just got a tweet from Mark Silverman of Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. And Sylvie's dealing with his own situation as there's a ground ball foul. But he tweeted this great picture. His son, Mason, is tuned into our telecast. Dad is watching the other telecast. They have the sound up on our telecast. So, Mason, hey, buddy, hope you're doing well. Enjoy the jigsaw puzzle, and thank you for tuning in. And to Sylvie, who is just a wonderful man, and Chicago sports is better for him, we're all thinking about you, buddy.
You're here.
Sylvie strong, all of us.
Really good guy. We know how much Jason Benetti's really good at what he does. And that was really nice. I was not expecting that. I was just poking fun that I have a six-year-old who was watching the Sox broadcast. He was not happy with Daddy with the big screen.
Yeah.
And watching Marquee Network. And that leads me into, and by the way, the sound courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago. He was watching the My Teams app on his phone. Pat Boyle was very, very happy. And I want to say this, that if you were not a fan of JD, Jim Deshays, before the weekend, after watching three games on Marquee without Jim Deshays, I think you've come away with a greater appreciation of Jim Deshays. Jim and Len are a great combo, and you can tell, as a Cubs fan, he was missed. They missed him badly. And
hurt his knee, right? Didn't I hear
knee, right.
Len say that he hurt his knee? We wish him a quick
recovery.
So we
wish him well. And I can't wait to hear him again because the broadcasts are not the same without JD. So, yes. And maybe he was the most underrated guy around. A lot of people want to talk about this. 312-332-3776.
Sounds like a lot of Cub fans are butthurt right now, isn't it? I mean, like, listen, this is the reality. Sox came to the north side. They were the better team over a three-game series. Cubs have the better record. I would definitely put my money on the Cubs getting to the postseason before I would the Sox at this point. But they came to your building, Cub fans, and they put it on you. It happens. I mean, I think being in denial isn't going to help you at all.
This is what happens, Waddle, when you have two teams in town, because people feel then the other team gets the upper hand. If this was a performance of a Bears team and such, we're all in this together, and we're quicker to admit that we've got flaws.
Right.
But when everyone's worried about the other team talking trash in their fan base, I think more people in this defend their team and don't want to look at the truth. So, Collins and Piatone. Colin, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. Sylvie Strong. Good to talk
to you. Colin.
Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate it.
And I'd like to just say if this was the same time last year, and I'm a Cubs fan, by the way, but if I had hit a bajillion home runs and then the next day got shut out by Yu Darvish, I'd be extremely frustrated. Do you think we're heading in the same trend as a Sox team?
What, after being shut down by an ace pitcher, after having, what was it? Like, they scored they had 18 runs on 33 hits in the series, and that's with what they did yesterday.
I mean, but all the runs are scored via the home run, and they didn't look incredibly dominant against Hendricks either.
I don't know. You chased him after five. He gave up three earned runs, right?
That wasn't Kyle Hendricks that I love.
Listen, again, like I said, your baseball team to me is a good baseball team. They're going to the postseason. I asked the question 10 days ago. I just don't know how damn good they are. And the team on the south side came to your building and dented your bleachers. It wasn't a good weekend for you. It doesn't mean that you won't get the best of them when you go to the south side at the end of the season.
I think the lineup reminds me so much of 15 with the Cubs, when they would bring up Wilson Contreras.
One after the other.
They would bring up Schwarber. They would all hit. And you're like, these guys are going to be good for 10 years. The Sox are going to find flaws with each player.
Of course.
The league will catch up, but right now you should appreciate it and love it. And I think they could go and make a lot of noise because of this. I mean, not all lineups are perfect. And, yeah, they'll slump too. But I really feel like the sky could be the limit. And we haven't seen Vaughn yet. We still haven't seen Madrigal
offensively.
Yet.
At least offensively, you've got a ton to be excited about. Wait till you see if Cease continues. I thought Cease, for the most part, was pretty darn good yesterday.
Ricky should have pulled him early.
Yes,
you said
no
that
question
earlier.
About that.
John in Rolling Meadows, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I remember talking to you, Mark, on Thursday, and I told you that if with the way the White Sox are seeing the ball now, it's like a beach ball up there. If the Cubs pitchers didn't keep the ball down in the strike zone, they were going to get hit and hit hard. Lester was like all over the place on Friday. I mean, he really had no control. And Hendricks, after what he saw from his teammate getting hammered, I think he was kind of shell-shocked going in onto the mound against this club, trying to keep it away from the middle of the strike zone where, you know, they would hurt him. He did a nice job. And you know, I figured yesterday when I saw that Darvish was pitching, there's your ace of the future, Darvish.
Well, he's finally living up to the contract, John, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he can throw 97. He can throw a curve at 90. He's got a split finger that does magic for him. He was almost perfect yesterday. But what I called to talk to you about real quick here, with the Sox needing to get a left fielder that can play left, and put Jimenez in the DH role where he should be, the White Sox still have plenty of money to go out this winter and get what they need, and because their bullpen's pretty much set. I love their stopper. I mean, Colom at the back end, this guy's lights out. So if you only have two or three things that you got to look at during the off season, and these kids are getting more and more comfortable at the plate, and noticing how pitchers are throwing to them, and you know what they're looking at, they're only going to get better and better as time goes on.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Yeah, their bullpen's been good the last couple of years.
Do you realize this is your problem? Okay, if you're a Cubs fan right now, Victor Caratini is your leading hitter. For the guys that play semi-regularly,
right?
Victor Caratini is hitting .293 in 58 at-bats.
Right, and then Hap has been really good.
Kipnis
like,
is next,
regress.
Then Hap, then Hayward, and right. Then Schwarber.
It's upside down, right?
They're batting .224 as a team. Like, I mean, it's the same issue for those Cub fans that are looking for their team to get over that hump and maintain their status as an elite team.
It's not Chili Davis.
No.
It's not Joe Maddon.
No.
It's not David Ross.
It's been the same problem now, hasn't it? For the last year plus.
They're
year
a
and
good
half?
Team. They're a good team. They're not great, though. Not the way they hit right now.
And usually when they're not hitting for average, they're still hitting home runs. They've only got 32 total home runs on the season. I believe
right, that's the thing.
Hap
yes.
leads the team with six.
Right. They're walking. They're striking out. But I think Sahadev had a good article about that. But the three true outcomes, they're walking, they're striking out, but they're not homering right. like they used to.
Yes.
Dan in Aurora. Danny, you're on ESPN 1000.
Danny, there he is.
Boy, it's late August, and we're not talking about Mitch. How great is that?
Yeah, it's fantastic,
oh,
Dan.
Oh, we will, Dan. Yeah, we will, Dan. Though.
Well, yeah, it's only 3:10, Dan.
Anyway, Sox fan here. Waddle, you were so right. Cubs fans being butthurt because all I've heard all week is, yeah, but. And all I've heard today is, yeah, but. Talking about the pitching. The Sox gave up 7 runs in a series. The Cubs had 2 games where they gave up that or equal to it. The Sox pitching is just fine. The bullpen is lights out. And there's still Rodon and Kopech come down the pipe. Kopech not till next year. This is probably our 15, but it might be our 16. This is a preview of the future.
Yeah, if I'm a Sox fan, and I said this to Sox fans in 15 as a Cubs fan, that if I'm a Sox fan now, I have no governor. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care who I beat. I don't care like what the butts are. If I'm a Sox fan right now, I am puffing out my chest. And I am happy and thrilled with
what
I'm
seeing. Well, you're enjoying watching your baseball team for the first time in a long time.
There's no better time than the Rocks.
Right.
There's no, because you're gonna fall out of love with some of these guys. Some of them won't. Like, you know how I felt about Addison Russell in 15 and 16.
You said he was going to be the next Barry Larkin.
10 years. Yeah. Shortstop. Locked up. Javi had to play second because of him. Locked up. And now, gone 2 years later. Can't even get a major league deal. Like, there are going to be guys, stress about that when that happens. Fall in love with your team
when
now.
You look back, I mean, the ride up was almost as satisfying. It wasn't as satisfying, but almost as satisfying as 16, wasn't it? I mean, the enthusiasm you felt for your team.
They
in
beat the
15.
Cardinals. They beat the Cardinals for the first time in my life in a playoff series. Schwarber hit one on the scoreboard. That was before all the Schwarber flaws. Who cares?
Right.
You loved every minute of it.
Yep.
Do you remember what happened in the NLCS? They got, like, their bats went quiet against that really good Mets pitching staff, and they got swept. But who cares?
Right.
Because the next year they came out and they won the World Series and they learned. Like, enjoy it now. Like, I'm big on, I could whine with the best of them, but I would, my advice to Sox fans is don't let anyone get you down and give you the yeah buts right now. And this is coming from a Cubs fan. John in Rogers Park, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Mark. First of all, I want to say Sylvie Strong. I'm really pulling for you.
Thank you.
Not calling from my mom's basement like Waddle accused me of last time I called. but I just kind of want to call you out a little bit, Sylvie, because you always love your polls. No one can deny that.
I do. I love my polls.
The answers that you provide for people to answer are never the best thought out, because what you have here are two not mutually exclusive options.
Get back in your mom's basement, John! Don't be giving Sylvie hell like that!
No, but the Cubs have major flaws and the Sox are really damn good, and they kind of exacerbated one another this past weekend. We saw the major flaws up against a really good hot Sox team, and we saw a really good hot Sox team take advantage of a really slumping Cubs. And I think the poll that you've posted is kind of not allowing for that fuller picture to come into kind of existence.
Well, it's fair,
and then I'll
John,
hang up, but I have one more. I'll hang up, but I have one more point, Sylvie.
Sure.
And it's not baseball related. It's just a testament to how great of a person you are. I have a boss from my old job who just was absolutely over the moon about the fact that you joined his old high school radio show when he was still doing that years ago, and you think it speaks volumes the kind of person you are and the kind of radio host you've come to be. So just want to hang up and I'll hear
it. Now you made up for the poll comment. Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
Look,
we were all up and coming at one time. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I love going on other guys' podcasts, whether it's See Red Fred, whether it's a high school kids show. I was
Greg
the
Craig's.
One. Yeah, I was the kid calling all the radio hosts when I was in junior high in high school. So if someone is going to take the time to ask me to go on theirs, I'm going to, sure, whatever.
Listen, I think that a lot of our conversations for 4 hours a day, we apply, you know, a lot of these conversations have nuance.
Yes.
You can't really have a nuanced conversation with a web poll question. We acknowledge that. We are guilty of that. So we do know that there is very little nuance attached to answering a web poll question.
Right. And I'm the house. I'm trying to get 50-50.
Yeah.
With the poll, you're exactly right, Waddle. It's a hot take factor.
Yeah, of course.
Like, there's no room for nuance in the poll. I want to know the bigger hot take. Is the bigger hot take that the Cubs have some major flaws or the Sox are really damn good? I know it could be both. I know it's only three games. I know that the Cubs could still be really good, that some of the goodness could outweigh the flaws, and they could still, in a shortened season, do some stuff. But in the hot take of now,
right,
what is the more truthful statement? And that's what I was getting.
Listen, I think we all are in agreement. Javi will hit at some point this year.
I hope so.
I think when Chris Bryant comes back, Chris Bryant will hit. I think, what have we always said about Anthony Rizzo? At the end of the day, the baseball card, the stat line looks exactly the same year after year after year. Now you're going to have to divide it by three because they're only playing 60 games this year. But the point is there will come a time when these guys get out of these slumps, and they will hit the baseball, and they'll look like a better team, take the record out of the equation, but a team that can actually compete with some of the better teams in baseball. How much or how good can they get? What is their ceiling? I'm not so sure.
All right, so Waddle's accusing Cubs fans of being butthurt. Sox fans, do you love what you're seeing? And Cubs fans, do you think that this team can go far? 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. I got to get to the Jesse point, too, before Waddle's World. And we're on fire with some great calls today at 3-3-2-3-7-7-6.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Love the chatter between Cubs and Sox fans. We've had great calls at 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Waddle, Jesse texted me earlier saying he's getting a lot of blowback from Cubs fans about his article on ESPN.com today.
Didn't read it.
I thought it was pretty fair. I thought it was sort of like what you've been saying. That
I
didn't
say, because I got a lot of
I'm going to read it later.
I got blowback from Sox fans for it.
Okay, go ahead. Describe it. Give me a synopsis.
He flipped. He starts his Sox article. So we have friends that are Sox fans that are always angry that they never get any coverage, right? And so we're like, here you go. What are Sox fans going to be mad about now? And then my buddy sends us a screenshot of course he mentions the Cubs in the first paragraph.
Yeah. Bro Connor.
Oh, yeah. It became more about the Cubs than it was the Sox, for sure, the article. Yes. So, but Cubs fans right now are sensitive, you know? I get it.
Right now?
Are you saying that it's an issue in general, Chris?
Well, I'm just saying, don't blink, because 2016 happened, and next thing you know, you're going to be the 85 Bears.
Oh, wow. Them's fighting words right there.
I'm just saying, don't blink.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Chris, when we have more time, can you bring that up later? I have a question for you. I have a serious question for you.
I thought he was
going to
say,
when
we have more time, we're going to wrestle. I thought that's where you were going with it. So wait a second. What was your perspective on what Jesse said?
I thought it was fair, and it was a lot about some of the Cubs' flaws and what are they going to do about it and everything like that. And then Jesse, Black alerted me on this. Jesse was on with Cap today and talked about buyers and sellers here with the trade deadline in a week.
I think they do very little. I do think they'll add an arm. They really do need a lefty like they do every year. Man, they really go to camp without knowing what's going on from the left side seemingly every year, and then they have to do something midseason. How about trading for Tony Watson on the San Francisco Giants? You have your old assistant GM there now, Scott Harris, who's the GM. Why not trade for a big-time lefty and call it a day? That's what I would do. One thing I'm going to write about this week, though, and I don't think it applies to the Cubs, I think there'll be a few teams that will sell a piece or two and still contend. I think you could do that this year when 8 out of 15 teams in each league make the playoffs. So a team that's hurting a little bit financially might move a piece and still contend. The Cubs could actually do that. I mean, in a perfect world, think about this. They're 17-10 with very little contribution from Kimbrough. He's finally coming around, and nothing from Jose Quintana. What if you traded either one of those two, get out from under Kimbrough's contract, because you don't know if this is going to last, and got a prospect or two, and you could still contend? They're in first place.
Who's trading for
guys?
Craig Kimbrell?
Well, someone that's fooled by what's going on here.
A dumb GM. That's
not fooled, but convinced by what's gone on the last four outings. Not fooled, but someone that's convinced. I'm just giving you examples. I do think there'll be a few teams that sell that surprise you and are still in the playoff hunt. Again, I don't think that'll be the Cubs, but we don't know exactly the financial disaster that's going on within these teams. So, but Theo on Friday mentioned most likely adding it'll be a lefty reliever or someone that can get lefties out. I don't think they do much more than that. It's one of those things. Look, you talk about hitters. If Bryant, Rizzo, Baez, Contreras aren't doing damage, who are they going to trade for? I don't think the hitter would be a pinch runner. That's who they would trade for.
JD Martinez.
Do anything. I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, they did it with Castellanos last year. They did. And where did it get them? Right. Their stars have to be their stars. I think it's a lefty reliever.
Wait, what do you mean? What did it get them? He was a beast.
He was, but I'm saying the team didn't do much with it. So I still think you have a bunch of stars here that are either going to lead you to the promised land or not. That's my opinion.
A lot there.
I agree. I don't think anybody's giving you Jack Diddley Poo for Kimbrel. I just don't. I think
Quintana coming off of surgery.
Yeah, I don't
when
think
he's a
that.
Free agent.
But you know, I think he is right about you know, Castellanos was fantastic. Last year, you finished 84-78 out of the postseason with him. So Jesse's point is well taken on that front.
Right, and think about this, that even the Cubs are struggling again offensively, again, to score runs. Remember, Waddle, they have an extra offensive player this year compared to the last few. But yet they still have the same damn issue. They were gifted the DH in the National League, but yet they still can't score like they should be.
I'd be shocked if the Cubs really add anything. And you know what? It's funny, too. I was in the booth talking to the fellas at the break, and Abdallah asked me, he said, look, would you be shocked if the Cubs went to the South Side in the final three games of the season? It took two or three from them. I said, no. That's baseball.
Right.
I mean, that's what baseball looks like sometimes. So, like, I wouldn't get over it. Here's the summary for what I saw this weekend. The White Sox future looks really, really, really bright. They're going to have to fix their starting rotation, find another arm, and then you're really going to be over the moon. Thank you for them. The Cubs are still a really good team, but they're not an elite team like the upper, you know, the top five teams in baseball the way they once were. And they're going to need some magic to get to the top of the mountain. But both teams, like, I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest if the White Sox grab a wild card spot, the Cubs win their division, and both of these teams are in the postseason.
Dougie's calling us from England. Dougie, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, Sylvie. Hey, Tommy. How you guys doing?
Dougie.
We're doing great. Thanks.
Good. I've rang a few times. It's glad to finally get through. Listen, I'm just speaking as a baseball novice from the other side of the ocean. From the outside looking in, it's just nice to hear people going at it in Chicago. I love the city. I've been a couple of times. But you're both relevant. The Cubs, the Sox, both relevant. And I just think it's great to have a different conversation. Steer the conversation away from Mitch. Talking about baseball. Everybody's happy. Everyone's happy. You've got something to argue about. It's positive.
Hey, listen again, Dougie, it's like 3:30. We still got 2.5 hours to get after the Bears.
And wait till you hear what we have planned for later in the week, Dougie.
I think the really bad Mitch talk happens after I've gone to sleep here with the time difference, which is good, Hey, listen, Tommy, I know you're a soccer guy.
Yes, my children were all good players. I never kicked a ball in my life, but I like to watch it.
Yeah, and I hate you talk about it. Do you have a team in Britain? Have you got a favorite team or...?
Just the one I'm gambling on with Abdallah. I would say, Dougie, that's usually my favorite team.
That's great. And listen, Sylvie, I catch you guys mainly on the podcast because of the time difference when I'm working. I work as a mailman. But it's great to get through. It's great to hear you sounding so positive and strong and healthy. And I keep listening to you guys all the time. I get all my knowledge from the Chicago sports from you guys. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Dougie.
Thanks for the call,
Dougie.
That means a lot. Appreciate it.
Rod in Lockport. Can we go to Rod? You're on ESPN 1000. Rod, what's up?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. We're good.
Good. So I'm sick of last week. Everybody saying, well, you played Kansas City and you played Detroit. Wait till you play some competition like the Cubs. Well, we did. We kicked their ass. And now all I'm hearing is, well, excuses. And then who's the guy that called and said yesterday, we almost just shut out. It was a 2-1 game. It was a great game. So I don't know what we need to do anymore.
No, I know you
just keep hitting dingers, Rod. Yeah, just keep hitting dingers,
Rod. I just ignore it because the opposite is true. When people, I don't care if the Cubs beat the Pirates 3 in a row. Like the Waddle's Reds just got swept. Was it the Reds who swept
the Cardinals?
The Cardinals
beat them.
No. The Pirates swept somebody though. Who did the Pirates swept the Brewers? That's who it was.
Yeah,
like. I don't care if they beat the Pirates. They've got the Tigers tonight. I don't care. I think this strength of schedule stuff when you're playing the same damn teams because we're all playing central teams is stupid.
One could also make the argument that the Cubs aren't competition.
Well, what is it, Abdallah? I thought you were just saying that the Cubs are really good.
Listen, all I said is that they're not playing well. I can't. I'm just saying facts. The facts are that the White Sox are a third-place team. The Cubs are a first-place team. The fact can also be true that the Cubs aren't a good team.
I think they're good. I just don't know how good they are.
I don't. Yeah. Are they?
Yeah, they're a good team.
Well, like I said, I'm in like with them. I'm not in love with them. I'm in like. I like them. They're nice. It's. I could be friends. We could have a nice platonic relationship. Where are we going, though? Who's going to be here?
You're not marrying this Cubs team.
No, not this one.
Sylvie, does this Cubs team get an invite to a wedding, though?
Yes.
Oh, wedding
yeah.
Day?
Yeah.
Wedding
yeah,
day?
They're good. They're right. A companion. Right. They're a good friend of mine.
I'm asking this Cubs team to help me move.
Yeah, they could help me move. They got some strength.
No, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's
you don't
not
want
a good thing.
Someone.
You don't ask
it's not a good thing if you're the person.
No one, yeah. Yeah, you don't ask your good friends to help you move.
No.
You ask your scrub friends.
Yeah, is that really? I mean, but do
hey, you want to come over and help me paint the inside of my garage?
No,
why
I don't.
Why would a scrub friend say yes, though?
Because he's desperate to be a friend.
They want to be your friend.
Yeah, they're on the perif. Now they want to be in.
Ray Flores helped me move.
Whoa.
So you wouldn't ask Adam Amin to help you move, but Ray Flores.
No, never.
Adam Amin's way too busy to help me move. Are you kidding me? I wouldn't burden him with that.
Ray's busy, too.
Yeah, no.
Not at that
not
point,
as much.
He wasn't.
No.
Who at the station? Give me this while we're on this, okay?
Okay.
Who would you help? Who would you ask help you move?
Okay, well, but here's the difference, though.
If you can't hedge.
Don't hedge. Exactly, Black.
No, here's the thing.
He's hedging.
I'm going to ask Cap to help me move because he's strong and does a hard lift like four times a day.
So this hey, Cap, just think of it as one of your workouts.
This would just be one of his hard lifts.
You guys would argue about Mitch the entire time.
This would just be one of his hard lifts. And I would never ask Merkin to because I don't think he can carry anything with his bad back and legs and arms. And he's just a mess right now, poor guy. I'd probably ask Danny, too, because he could probably carry a lot. Like, I'm getting guys. If you ask me
specifically. Would you ask Waddle and me? Would you ask Waddle and me?
Well, I mean.
No, you guys are in the sea.
I got a bad wing.
Totally hedged on this.
Yeah, it's all
let's be real.
Now.
Let's be real. Cap's not lifting anything to help you move. He's not getting his hands dirty. You guys think Cap's going to help him move?
I would ask Cap to help me move in hopes that he would just hire someone to do it for me.
Yeah, see? That's his move.
Look, I've experienced that Cap has been a helper.
Of course he is.
His quarterback takes stink,
yeah.
But that dude is a good
but
friend.
He's the first guy to come over and help
he's
you out
friend.
With something. He may be wearing a Mitch jersey at the time, but he'll walk through 100 miles of sewage to come over and give you a hand.
All right, we got to get to Waddle's world, and we'll get to
speaking of 100 miles of sewage.
More, don't think that we're letting you off the hook with the Mitch talk today either. There's been a couple of callers say, "Hey, this sure beats the Mitch talk." We're going to talk about the Bears coming up, but the Waddle's world is next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Is that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
I'm Big Al and I hit dares. Waddle's World is brought to you by our great friends and partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. Did you see the most recent? I'm not talking about the problem with the false positive COVID testing in the NFL this week. And we'll talk about that a little later in the program. But the NFL has reported on their most recent testing results for the week of August 12th through the 20th. During this period, players in Tier 1 and 2 personnel were tested daily. Tier 3 individuals were tested weekly. Individuals who tested positive for COVID-19 follow the joint NFL-NFLPA treatment protocol. They are immediately isolated, not permitted to travel with the team, access club facilities, or have direct contact with players or personnel. Club medical staff are in regular communication with individuals who do test positive to monitor the symptoms. Now, here are the test results from August 12th to August 20th. 58,397 tests were administered to 8,573 players and personnel. All right?
58,000 and 8,000 personnel.
Yes. There were 0 positive tests among players and 6 new confirmed positives among other personnel.
It's crazy. I don't know how they're
crazy
doing
in
it.
A good way.
Right. Or if it's going to continue. And yes, you're right. We're going to have a conversation about this. Like, there have been some reporters saying it wasn't a good thing, though, what happened this weekend.
It may
even
not
it
have been, but you know what? It may have ultimately, it may have helped them going forward to be prepared for a situation like that if you get to Saturday or actually a game day on Sunday. And I think that this new quick saliva test, which I believe the University of Illinois has been using for quite some time now, right, fellas? Yes, that is correct. That is going to give you rapid results. And I think that's the test that the players and the people that were involved with the false positives were actually, I'm assuming that they were given those tests, weren't they? Because the response to those is very quick. Either way.
Are they going to give out those quick tests on game day? Like, shouldn't you have to take a test before you get into the arena?
They may.
A rapid test?
I would think that that would be mandatory.
Yes. Like,
I mean, if you have the testing capacity available to you, they've got the resources to do it. I mean, financially, to pay for the testing. But the overall point here is, again, this is not going to be a flawless, mistakeless process as we saw this weekend. But for the most part, I tip the cap to the NFL on how they... It looks like maybe they learned from those that went through these processes first, whether it was the MLS, the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball. Hopefully they've learned from some of the mistakes that were made on those fronts. And this is really good news. Like, I'm not predicting that it'll be perfect going forward and they may have a game day situation. I think we'd be naive to think that there won't be a game day situation that will pop up between now and the end of the season. But I think the NFL collectively deserves a tip of the cap for implementing this process in a pretty good way in a very difficult time.
You just got to be flexible. Like, if you get a positive result for a game that's going to be on Saturday, if there's no college football, and they're going to play on Saturday, and you get like results like this where like 9 people test positive and then you realize it's a false positive, play the game on Sunday. Or if it's a Sunday noon kick and you need to delay it till 3:25.
In most instances, you're not going to have fans.
Yeah, you're not going to have fans anyway. And then, or if it's a Sunday game, play on Monday. You get 2 Monday and just deal with it. Like, you're just deal with the flexibility.
Right. Aren't you encouraged by this news that the NFL is...
Yes.
I think there's only... Did I hear this right? That there's only 3 guys currently that are still on the COVID list that haven't been able to join their teams? Or maybe those guys have come back anyway.
It's been shrinking, right.
It's been fantastic. So, not saying that it's going to be perfect going forward, but there was a time when we were all really concerned, right? And my level of concern still stays at a reasonable level, but where there's a will, there's a way.
I love it. I hope we're playing football in 3 weeks.
Where there's some green to be
gathered,
we're willing to do what it takes.
Yes. Isn't today, it's 3 weeks from today with the 2 Monday night games, right? I know we're coming up on 2 weeks for the season kickoff, but that's where we are.
By the way, I got some Cub news for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Tyler Chatwood will start on Tuesday.
Yep.
And Quintana is going to the bullpen.
Okay.
So
that's
he may start in Cincinnati when the Cubs have to play a doubleheader on Saturday.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing to have more starters than you need. Especially with the way things have been going with the starting rotation.
The Dolphins will allow up to 13,000 socially distancing fans to attend their home opener against Buffalo on September 20th.
Do you trust them?
And have mandated that all fans wear masks.
Considering what happened in Florida, do you trust them?
They've been talking about this now for a couple of months, so I trust that they'll have the best plan possible put in place in terms of getting in and getting out and spreading people out. Like, when you say, do I trust them? I trust them as much as I can. I mean, this is all about trying to mitigate as much risk as possible and still have some sort of normalcy.
Did I see this right, too, that it's a cashless stadium now? That everything you do, from parking to any sort of buying of food, it is without cash. You buy stuff
Good
on the
idea.
App or with your credit card.
Same plan will be followed by the University of Miami for their home opener against UAB at the Dolphin Stadium September 10th. There's a football game this weekend, isn't there? A small college football game, I believe.
No, I think it's next weekend.
Is it next weekend? Yeah. Ball's coming.
Wow.
Ball is coming. By the way, speaking of college ball, Clemson is your preseason number one in the AP Top 25 poll.
Well, there's only like 28 teams playing now, right? I mean,
Clemson's one, Ohio State is two, Alabama is three, Georgia is four, Oklahoma
Ohio
five.
State's ranked? How could they be ranked?
Ranked second.
Yeah, but them rankings, okay, you ain't playing. So
Penn
guess
State
what?
Ranked seventh.
Alabama's second. What up? Roll Tide.
Shouldn't they only rank the teams that are playing?
No, they've got everyone there. Oregon, 9.
Yeah, way to go, Oregon.
Wisconsin, 12.
By the way, Milwaukee beat Orlando 121-106 earlier today. Milwaukee now leads that series 3-1. And at the half, Houston has a two-point lead over OKC.
I believe this was the weekend. Now, Bleck and Abdallah are huge NBA guys, as are we. But I believe this was the weekend where the NBA arrived for the general sports fan.
Oh, it was glorious.
You know what I mean?
Last night, I was like, my cable was out. So I was watching the second half of the Jazz Nuggets game on my little tiny phone as I was trying to go to bed.
That was a good game.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, and the Clippers and Dallas game with Doncic. Woo, was that good.
Yeah.
And that NBA coverage update was brought to you by Kia. Visit Kia.com to see what it means to give it everything, and by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Hey, when we come back, I got some more sports roo stories, and then we got some nonsense highlighted by the nuttiest story of the day, and of course, Florida or Ohio. This hour brought to you by White Claw Hard Seltzer, crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of natural fruit. Available in 8 all-natural fruit flavors, it's low-carb, gluten-free, and only 100 calories. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
All right, a few more sports-a-roo stories for you, including Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson has returned to practice. He's been dealing with a soft tissue injury. I believe he's got a groin injury, but he's back doing his thing. And also, I'm assuming if you follow the NFL closely, you did see that the Baltimore Ravens released Earl Thomas this weekend. I believe he got in a fight with Chuck Clark, one of his teammates.
Yes.
Clark was punched by Thomas toward the end of Friday's practice after the two exchanged words. And the Ravens decided that's enough. You're out.
And there's a long history there. It's not just this. In the last year, he's had, different instances where he's gotten into it with his teammates. Remember the story that we read about his brother and then his wife holding him at gunpoint?
Yeah.
Like, with Bears issues, I wouldn't, in a year like this, I wouldn't get close to him.
He wants to play for the Cowboys. Something tells me the Cowboys may be in play for him, but the Baltimore Ravens, I believe, are going to seek some of that signing bonus money back. But how about this? North Dakota State is going to host a showcase game for their quarterback prospect, Trey Lance. Isn't he the guy that everyone's got the Bears projected at drafting, possibly? Considered a potential first-round pick in next year's draft, was expected to miss the entire 2020 season after North Dakota State postponed fall sports earlier this month. The school announced today that it will host Central Arkansas on October 3rd, a game that is expected to draw widespread attention from NFL scouts. So they're having this game to showcase him to the NFL scouts. Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And the Mets are set to resume play on Tuesday.
That's good news, too.
Hey, you know what time it is? It's time for the nuttiest story of the day, and it's brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. You know what they say? A night with Screwball, bound to get a little nutty.
I don't think I would have gotten it again.
A night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little nutty.
Yeah, of course it is. Woman found alive after being taken to a Detroit funeral home. This is your worst nightmare, if you're that person.
It's better than being in the ground, you know, and then coming to life.
That's true. I'm not going to be able to finish the show if I even think about that because of my claustrophobia. A Southfield woman's death was reported prematurely Sunday, authorities said. She was transported to a Detroit funeral home before anyone realized she was still alive. Southfield Fire Department responded to a 911 call at about 7:35 in the morning. A woman, 20, had been reported unresponsive. The fire chief declined to say today where in town the call came from, citing privacy. Medics tried life-saving efforts on the woman for about a half an hour. Despite it all, she showed no signs of life.
20?
Yeah. Authorities called the Oakland County Medical Examiner's Office which pronounced the woman dead.
Whoa.
Wow.
But a spokesman for the Oakland County area told the news that it was not the medical examiner's office that made the death determination. It was a doctor at an area emergency room. It was only after the woman was determined to be dead that the fire department reached the medical examiner. Based on the specifics of the case and the person's known medical history, the medical examiner can decide whether to take custody of the body and conduct an autopsy or to release it to the family. On Sunday, it released the body to the family. The funeral home says it was then they were contacted to pick up the woman. The funeral home noted, it is our practice not to comment on open investigations. Upon her arrival at the funeral home, our staff confirmed she was breathing.
Unbelievable. What's her status now?
I'll get back to you on
like,
that.
Is she walking around and talking to people or not is she like on life support?
Well, the Detroit Fire Department medics arrived at the funeral home and found the woman breathing with a heart rate of 80. That's mine, like today, right now. So she's okay. Wow. Couldn't believe it. So they transported, ported her to the hospital where she is right now.
Okay.
So she was dead, and now she's not dead.
Well, all's well that ends well, right?
Hey, a night with Screwball bound to get a little naughty.
Yeah, you didn't undersell that
one. How about a little game?
Let's do it.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
All right, let's play a little game that I may or may not have forgotten that we were going to do today.
Oh, bro, did you have to Google it quickly when Waddle teased it?
Wow. I always keep that thing on me. It's always ready.
She was 20, Waddle?
She was 20, that's what it said.
Wow. I pictured like a little old lady, and this was going to be like...
I think she was 20.
The old lady's live.
I'm looking at it, it's like a side headline right now, right? A woman is arrested after assaulting her father for his flatulence.
What? Every dad's got flatulence.
If that's the case, I'd be beaten up every weekend.
Yeah. Well, a 40-year-old woman was arrested after beating up her father, who's 60, after she became enraged by his flatulence.
What's she doing around the dad? She should move out by now.
I know, right? A woman was arrested after she allegedly beat her father after becoming obsessed by excessive farts inside the home. I said farts because I wanted to say farts. It actually says flat. This is a respected publication. Police were called to a home just after 2 a.m. where the woman was angry with her father.
My name's Big Al, and I hit dingers.
And she was trying to sleep and could not.
And I hit dingers.
His flatulence was so bad. A heated argument ensued between the pair with a verbal altercation allegedly quickly turning physical.
Wow.
A bloody left eye and scratches all over his neck.
That's terrible.
I know, right?
What, the farting or the attack?
The attack!
Okay, I didn't know.
It's cherry season. We all fart.
Yes.
Well, it is cherry season.
The grapes,
season,
too, are harsh on my stomach as well. I'm going to go Orlando-ish Florida.
I'm going to go Tampa. This is totally Tampa.
Gainesville, Florida.
A woman was arrested after beating up her father for farts in Largo, Florida.
Yeah, there you go.
That should be a Totally Tampa. Should be a TV show.
Totally Tampa?
Totally Tampa, where nonsense occurs.
It's
like
a reality type show,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I like it.
Totally.
That's a good idea.
Totally Tampa.
All right, so JD is going to join us, and are the rumors true? Is the fact just basically that both quarterbacks have not been that good? JD answers that in 2 minutes.